This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Something which has been really concerning me, an increasing trend as more of us find ourselves separated from our elders, our parents especially, those who are in old age, and of course anything could happen, and they're living far away. I think many of us have some kind of family structure like that. Many of us have ethnic origins that mean that the family is spread out over a wide part of the world. And often what happens is that a person might pass and a particular, I want to say a dominant figure, the patriarch maybe of the home, the eldest son, for example, or an uncle or whatever it is, wants the janazah, once the ghusl, once the key burial aspects delayed for them to get there. You might be in America and you were trying to get back to Pakistan. You might be in the UK, need to get back to Malaysia. You might be in Canada, wanting to get back to Morocco. The idea that the whole process should be delayed just so that you can attend because of your emotional need. And I know that we need to be sensitive. And of course, you've seen in the fiqh of death how much we've been speaking about being very cognizant about the emotional needs of those that are grieving. And we do need to be sensitive, but we also need to be, I don't know, honest enough with ourselves to hold ourselves accountable. And let's talk about rights. Let's talk about whose right should be protected first. Who is the most important person to actually protect in all of this situation? And it's the right of the deceased. The right of the deceased comes before anybody else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when it comes to the deceased, that if they were, hurry up with the process of the burial, hurry up with the deceased. Because if they were a righteous person, then you're putting them forward to good. But if they were not that, then you are removing an evil off your own necks. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as narrated in Bukhari. This hadith is not just super authentic, super important, but also, I believe, acts as a reminder of how little we are in touch with the metaphysical side of life, the spiritual side of life, that we don't believe that there are causes and effects in the things that happen to us. We are so confident in everything that we see and do, and we always believe that it's our fault or their fault, and we don't think outside the box, that maybe it's because of certain aspects of life that are we weren't considering as important previously, but now are having an impact. An evil that's taken off your necks. Think about this part of the hadith. That means that we are affected by our surroundings. We are affected by people's almost energy. You heard, obviously, you know, Habib made that very, very popular, right? Positive energy. I feel good energy. Right? This is a phrase which is now very common. A lot of people kind of rely upon it. It's real. It's true. There is such a thing as positive energy. There is such a thing as good vibes. There is such a thing as negative energy. And so it's not just your right that you need to be there at the janazah prayer and pray over this person. There's the rights of the deceased, the rights of the people who are in that locality as well. And so this selfishness that we find is unacceptable. It's not permissible to delay the burial. And you'll find so many ahadith on this matter, so many issues. And people will turn around and say, well, what about the janazah prayer? I'll miss it. My brother and sister, if you are listening to this, of course, that's what the reason why the class is there, for you to really educate yourself on this chapter. But maybe send them this video so that they realize that this is not about you. Yes, we want you to pray over your deceased and make dua for them, but your primary focus is dua for them. And then when you are able to get there, if it's late, don't delay the whole process. But then you will do what the Prophet ﷺ did, which is to then go and pray after the person has been buried. We know that this happened a number of times for the Prophet ﷺ. For example, there was a lady who used to clean the masjid. And, you know, subhanAllah, the Sahaba, when they narrated this incident, they were not even sure whether she was a lady or a man. Even in some narrations where it was a boy, it's like happening in the background. But the Prophet ﷺ knew very well who she was, because she'd been gone for a while, and it was, he didn't see her, and he was like, "What happened to the lady? Where's she gone?" And they said, "Oh yeah, she passed away. We dealt with her burial, and we dealt with her janazah. We buried her." فَلِمَ لَمَا أَذَنْتُمُونِي يعني, why did you not tell me? Why did you not tell me? And they, and the narrator Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that they tried to kind of make it out like that she were فَصَغَّرُوا أَمْرَهَا يعني, they tried to make it out to be a minor. Ya Rasulullah, you know, it's not that important. She's not all that. And you know, it's not. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said something very, very important. He says, إِنَّ هَذِي الْقُبُورِ, these graves, مَمْلُوءَةٌ ذُلْمَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, they are full of darkness for its inhabitants. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُنَوِّرُهَا لَهُمْ بِصَلَاتِ عَلَيْهِمْ, and Allah will illuminate these graves through my prayer for them. دُلُّونِ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهَا, show me her, where her grave is. And so he then was led to her grave and he prayed over her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only did he pray over her, but those sahaba that had already prayed over her prayed over her as well, second time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This also happened with another lady that's narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i, who was very ill, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared that there was going to be, you know, an imminent death. And so he said, let me make sure you tell me if that happens. And what happened is that she was from Al-Awali. Those who are with me in my programs, the Tarbiyah programs, will know that we get our dates from Al-Awali, and we go and visit that area on the way to Masjid Al-Quba, which is about 5 odd miles from the, about 5 miles from Masjid Nabawi. And you will see that it takes time. You know, obviously she passed away around the Dhuhr time. She was then prepared and washed and then carried to Al-Baqiyah, Al-Gharqad, which is the graveyard of what we call Baqiyah, next to the Masjid of Nabawi, next to the Prophet's house. By the time that they got there, it was nighttime and the Prophet was sleeping. So they knew that he had told them that, make sure you tell me if she passes away. But they were like, oh, we can't wake him up for this now. She's only some miskina. And actually, they even called her the miskina, right? Like some poor, nondescript person, whatever, right? And so they buried her at night. And when the Prophet ﷺ woke up in the morning and he found out, he goes, and why didn't you tell me? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, you were sleeping. It was late. Now what's fascinating for me in this hadith, and so many things to take from this, is that he was upset and he criticized them, but not for the fact that they did not delay for 1 second, that they rushed in and made sure that she was buried at nighttime. Look at the haste, okay? Burying at night time, they don't have floodlights, electricity, machinery. It's kind of chaos, yani. It's so difficult to do, you know, in an area, if you've ever lived in the villages without electricity, to do all of this kind of thing and to make sure you get everything right. But so you'd say to yourself, just delay 12 hours, man. Wait till daytime, right? And that makes more sense. But no, they knew that the most important thing was to make sure that she is buried as soon as possible. And so they did that. And he didn't criticize them for that. What he criticized them for was, why didn't you wake me up? Because in that narration, he said, because my salah is a rahmah for them. It's a mercy for them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went and he lined up the companions behind him and they prayed over her. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this again for another one that was known as Al-Manbudh, which is like, it's another poor person. We also know, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was out of town, narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, Hassan al-Sa'id ibn Musayyib narrates that Sa'ad, one of the Sahabiyat, she had passed away, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was away for a month. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came back and found out, then he prayed over her grave, at the grave. And so we know that this is something which is an act of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here's the thing. There are some scholars, yes, it's true that the Hanafi school considers this to be not permissible, that once a person has passed away, then that's the end of it. And even one narration from Imam Malik as well, that once the prayer, once the person is buried, then you can't pray the janazah. And they explained all of these hadith right? Because the person might say, well, what about all these narrations? Well, they said, well, no, all these narrations, what they indicate is that the Prophet ﷺ prayed for these. And this is specific to the Prophet ﷺ because only he has that special characteristic. And we spoke about this characteristic, of course, in the hadith of, in various other parts of the class, which obviously you can check out in terms of specifically putting in the two twigs in order to protect the inhabitants of the grave and so on and so forth. This discussion is actually very interesting. How do you tell whether something is specific to the Prophet ﷺ or whether it can be continued by others? Actually, the majority of the scholars, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, the other narration from Imam Malik, the majority of scholars said, no, it is permissible to pray over the deceased, especially if they've not had a prayer offered for them and they were buried without one, or there's someone who has a vested interest, a family member and the like, then of course they can pray for that person too. And that this is not specific to the Prophet ﷺ because the Prophet ﷺ didn't prohibit any of the Sahaba from doing it. In fact, they had already prayed and he asked them to join him in the prayer. So they prayed over those people with the Prophet ﷺ, which clearly proves that it's not something specific. And also, you know, for example, when we want to try and identify whether something is specific, you look at another test like the Hadith of Al-Wisal, which is continuous fasting. The Prophet ﷺ said that you're not allowed to do that, and yet he continued to do that. When they asked him, well, what about you, Ya Rasulullah? He said, I'm not the same as you guys. Allah is the one who feeds me, right? Meaning that I don't need the food and drink as much as you guys do. And so we know that when the companions try to do something and they're not meant to, he'll make it clear. But he didn't say that for them in this case. That shows to us that it is something which is right and allowed for us to do. That's the position of the majority of scholars. And this idea, by the way, that there's a time limit, there's no evidence for that either. If a person is delayed in getting to the janazah, then so be it. I want you to know that if you want to summarize this situation, we know that you should be super quick. Look at Aisha radiallahu anha, what she said about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. She said that he passed away on Tuesday night, he was buried on Tuesday night. Imagine that. Passed away on Tuesday night, buried on Tuesday night. And Aisha, again, when it came to her brother Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr radiallahu anh, so he was on a journey and he was trying to get to Mecca and he passes away like about 20 odd miles or whatever from Mecca. And what they did is that they took his body whilst he had passed away and they didn't deal with it for like a day or two or whatever it was until they got to Mecca and then buried him. And subhanAllah, it's so instructional that when Aisha went to visit him, she said to him, went to visit the grave. Firstly, she prayed her Salatul Janazah over the grave by herself. Proof, not only of praying, but this is the same for a woman, same for a male. You know from the class my opinion on women in the graveyard, etc., etc. And also what she said to Abdurrahman, who's passed away, that rhetorical kind of statement. She says, man, if I was here, I would have buried you right here. I would have buried you right where you had passed away. Meaning there shouldn't be no delay. She's seen how her father passed, okay? How it's done there and then and immediately. No delay for anybody. Imagine, yani, the Abu Bakr passing away on Tuesday night and being buried Tuesday night, not waiting to gather all the people because the haqq of the deceased. It's not your right. I know that you're grieving, but I know that people want to get in there. I know that people want to come up. I know that people are working, but you've got to try to protect the right of the deceased. They are first and foremost each and every single time. And I want to say this, that of course if there's some legal impediment, there's something which, you know, there has to be an obligatory post-mortem. A lot of time when hospitals claim this in the West, it's not absolutely necessary and there are ways around it. You can get it expedited. But obviously if there are legal impediments or obviously the graveyards are not available and the staff are not available, then you need to then delay until the next day. Then that little bit of delay, which is necessary, is okay. But to delay by 2 days, 3 days for people to fly in, this is not right. Let it happen just like we see. We see the companions always rushing, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Zubair, when any member of his family would pass, he would be saying, quickly, quickly, let's get out of the body. Let's get out of the body. That should be our attitude. And then if we are late, then we are late. We missed it, but we didn't miss out. We missed it, meaning the congregational janazah prayer that was prayed fundamentally, but we didn't miss out because we then come to the grave and then we pray. And how would you do that? So this is the Muslim section of our local graveyard, and I'll show you how the prayer is offered. Of course, that we say when we arrive to the Muslim graveyard or the Muslim section of a graveyard is Assalamu alaykum ahl al-diyar min al-mu'minin wal-muslimin wa inna insha'Allah bikum lalahikun nasallallahu lana wa lakum al-afiyah. As you have obviously learned in the class already, and I specifically want to use the grave of one of our most beloved uncles, alayhi rahmatullah, Uncle Muhammad Anwar, as an example, who we buried not long ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. And you will come to the grave of your beloved, of your deceased. And as a male, this is the way that they are facing. This is the direction of the Qibla. And so all of the deceased that you can see in a Muslim graveyard, in a Muslim section or Muslim graveyard, as per the rules of fiqh, as per obviously the details in the class, will be lying on their side, or the whole body to face towards the Qibla, or at least their head. And because for the men, we'll stand here. If it was a female, you'd stand in the middle of the grave. But because it's a male, then we'll stand with the grave in front of you towards the Qibla. So you face towards the Qibla, and you'll have the grave in front of you, just like you would if the person was out in with their coffin. And then you will then do the janazah prayer as per the class. The first takbir, Allahu Akbar. You will recite A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahi rrahmanir rahim, and recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Allahu Akbar. And then you will recite the Durood Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Then Allahu Akbar, and then you will recite the dua, Allahumma ghafir lahayyina wa mayyitina, and other versions which have been authentically narrated as from the class. Allahu Akbar, and then Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And the variations that we covered in as per the opinions of fiqh, which of course are in detail in the class. The key that I want to bring to your attention is the importance of protecting the right of the deceased. It's their right that they are buried as soon as possible, that they go to that delight that Allah has promised them, and not that you are here to make that congregational prayer. This janazah prayer for you by yourself might be even more purer, might be even more better, might be even more sincere. And that's something good for you, and it's also something which is good for the deceased. So I hope that this reminder is taken in the best of spirits and best of light. This is something that we all need educating on. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from this and to implement it, to preserve the right of the family that are grieving, but most importantly, to preserve the rights of our deceased who deserve better. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.